Dukakis, and I'm your host for the Domestic Violence Awareness and Education Programming that we do on Tuesdays and Thursdays. And today our guests are Reverend Nancy Camp of the First Lutheran and First Presbyterian Church here in Lake Andes, and Brother Martin at St. Mark's Catholic Church here in Lake Andes, South Dakota. And I'd like to welcome Brother Martin and Reverend Camp, and thank you for being with us today.
You're welcome.
Our pleasure, Donna.
I would like to say that both Brother Martin and Reverend Camp are members of the Charles Mix County Ministerial Association, which meets once a month in various locations throughout the area. And we're going to go ahead and get started with our interview. We'll be talking for about a half an hour here. And I'd like to direct our first question to Reverend Camp. And how did the Ministerial Association decide to address the issues of domestic violence for the clergy in this area?
Donna, each year the ministerial decides on an educational issue.
Mm-hmm.
And this past year we decided that education for ourselves as a group of ministers, as well as for our churches, would be the issue of domestic abuse.
Mm-hmm. And has this been a subject of, or a topic for you in the past at all?
It has been for me personally. I think it's something that ministers need to be educated about. Sad to say, a lot of times the churches have done more harm than good in working with survivors and abusers.
Can you explain that a little bit for us?
I think there's several different ways they've indicated that the victim is at fault. They've blamed the victim. They've been more concerned with saving a marriage at all costs, things like that.
I agree with what you just said, Nancy, and the church has not been, in my view, compassionate enough towards the victims of domestic violence, and especially when the male member who's doing the violating is well-known in the community and well-known by in the church. They seem to take his part, and so the one who's being abused really has no chance, and so we have not done a very good job in that area.
Well, I thank you for your being so upfront about this, and it does take a lot of courage to say these things within the clergy community and to address these issues head-on of domestic and sexual violence within our communities. And it's very common, unfortunately, as you said, that many times, in particular if it's upstanding pillar of society, as we always say, that people just have a very difficult time believing that, you know, the batterer, that he can behave in this way. Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's talk about the trainings, because there have been, you know, as we said earlier, the Ministerial Association meets once a month, various locations throughout the area. And when we say area, we're talking about
Wagner, Lake Andes, Marty, Armour.
Okay, so, and that's probably about a 50-mile radius?
Yeah.
Okay, great. And the clergy community reaches many, many people. We're a rural community, of course, and so the challenges of offering services and being available to those who are experiencing or in abusive relationships can be very difficult, simply because we are a rural community. And so to have the clergy address this within the Ministerial Association and also within the congregation is a very important step in ending violence against women and their children. You have offered, through the Ministerial Association, is it two trainings now?
Yes, we've had two training sessions just for the ministerial, and then several of us also have gone to training in Mitchell. That was at the Cody Westland.
Okay. And so the two trainings that have been held here in Lake Andes were specifically for I think the first one was specifically for real basic information education about domestic violence.
That's right. And the second then concentrated more on how we as clergy could appropriately respond when people came to us. Mm-hmm. And also how we might respond even when we knew about any type of violence that was going on. Mm-hmm. So that we could go back and then hopefully begin to educate our churches. And the other aspect that was brought up was resources in this community for people who needed resources mm-hmm. dealing with domestic violence.
So maybe Brother Marty can talk to what kind of response did you get from those clergy members who attended these trainings?
Very positive, Donna, and they really got a lot out of it, and they were very grateful that we could put something like this on the agenda and receive training, and hopefully we can receive more training.
Okay, so can you give us some examples of positive response to it?
Well, I know that the ministers who participated in it, they really weren't aware of a lot of the circumstances or the signs, and it was very educational for them. It made them more aware mm-hmm. of how to deal with women who were being abused, mm-hmm. which was, we were grateful for that.
Mm-hmm.
And also last year, a number of people from the women's shelter who worked there gave a workshop to our youth group that Nancy and I meet mm-hmm. with once a month during the year. And that was very educational, very beneficial for the youth themselves.
And what were their comments in finding out about the shelter, the services the shelter offered, and just knowing that the level of violence against women is so extraordinary?
They were very, some were unaware of the shelter even being in existence, mm-hmm. to be honest, which was sad. Also, those who did not realize that this was the shelter for Charles Mix County, that geographically it's a big area, so it encompasses a lot of people. And so I think the youth themselves, their behavior towards boys towards girls, I think they were unaware of their behavior does indicate that they are could be abusers by the way they talk to girls.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that we have done with our youth group here in Lake Andes, and now because of the training with the Ministerial Association, we're hoping this coming year that they also will participate in the night walk, Take Back the Night.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And again, that was educational, particularly last year for our young people. After the walk, as you well know, there's a meal and a program. And I was sitting next to a couple of the young people, one Native American, one non-Native American, and after one speaker talked about the high percentages of abuse with Native Americans, the non-Native American turned to her friend and said, "I need to take care of you and watch out for you, don't I?"
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So there was an awareness there that hadn't been there before.
Right, right. That's great.
If I just could add, 2 years ago when we started to be more involved with the walk, and October is Domestic Violence Awareness Month, the teenagers of Lake Andes who participated in the youth group, they were inspirational for me personally because they were viewing this as, you know, as personal, you know, and they wanted to do something to stop it. And I was really impressed, and it made me take a look at what I need to do better in this area with domestic violence and how to let people know that this is going on and it's mm-hmm. wrong. And so mm-hmm. I think that was the linchpin that started this, our involvement in it. And I'll always be grateful to the youth of Lake Andes for that. And they put the posters up in the school that we got from the women's shelter. And I think that had a great effect on it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, because the level or the age range where people experience domestic violence, domestic situations, is younger and younger in these most recent years. And so that means that a lot of our young people, our teens, are in abusive relationships. And some of the indicators that you can look at might be if your daughter is suddenly weeding her friends out and only spending time with her boyfriend and not so much with her girlfriends or any other friends, mm-hmm. for that matter. And also, even though in our thinking, we're unfortunately so used to seeing this, hickeys are a very big indicator, because what hickeys, really what they do is they show ownership. And so when somebody is walking around with, a lot of hickeys on their neck, or even one hickey, that's a definite mark of, she belongs to me, he belongs to me, and, hands off. So, hickeys definitely aren't an expression of love or caring. They are an expression of ownership. And, many times, we see this in the schools, we see it in the workplaces, we see it in the churches, everywhere. So it's something to think about, for our listeners to think about. When I was younger, I had a few hickeys too. we probably all have. And I didn't like them. And I was very adamant. I do not want that. But they can, the young man can be very adamant too. Well, can I have it anyway? So that's one indicator. Yes, and we would like to thank the youth group as well, because they did help to sponsor, along with the churches, the spaghetti dinner. And that was so good. And it was packed.
And we're hoping to do it again this coming fall.
That's great. So, listeners, stay tuned, because we'll be letting people know when that dinner's coming up. And it's a fundraiser. And we were, it was just packed. All member or community members from different walks of life came.
And that was, again, very educational in another way. Until that time, many members in my church who are non-Native American, some of your listeners from other parts of this country and world will be amazed at this, but in this, they thought that domestic violence and sexual abuse was the Native American issue only. And when we began to advertise the spaghetti dinner and talk about the issue, they were amazed to find out that it wasn't.
No, not at all. Not at all. 1 in 3 women in this country are going to experience domestic violence. And that's across all kinds of distinctions. But one statistic that is alarming is that 3.5% of Native American women will be raped in their lifetime. So, and that's the highest of any group in this country. And that's very alarming. But no, domestic violence, sexual violence, every nationality, every, we hear this all the time, every economic class experiences this. And I'm sure that just as unfortunately, we have those people who are non-Indian in our communities who experience the same thing. One of the things where the rural area really kind of protects batterers is because we are so rural. There might be 2-3 miles between one farm home to another farm home, and we still deal with the mentality that that's none of our business. That's their business, their family business. We don't have anything to do with that. And of course, when someone's in danger, that just simply can't be the case.
Mm-hmm. I encourage the people at St. Mark's to get more involved, because when I had a meeting with them last year, I mentioned to them that here's the shelter in town, this is the services they provide, here are the brochures, here are the flyers, take them home and read them. We need to find a way to build a bridge into the community where we can really support what the women's shelter is doing, get more people involved. And I think some people were not aware of what the services were provided, and some maybe didn't care. But I think now they are aware. I can say that they are aware. And I mentioned to them, I said, it's for all Charles Mix County. So I said, services that the women's shelter provides, I said, it's just, it's really great, and they're really helping people. So I said, we need to get more involved in that.
Mm-hmm. And that's not unusual. We talked about this the other day, that often that community members who may have lived in a certain area all their life are not aware of a shelter that's located right among them. And it used to be that, you know, we needed to try to keep the shelters as anonymous as possible. Well, we can't do that in rural areas and small towns. It just, you know, it just is really kind of an impossibility. And so we don't necessarily try to do that anymore.
Right.
But nevertheless, there are still members who are unaware of the services. So the more people we can reach through the Ministerial Association, through Dakota Talk Radio, through local agencies and organizations, youth groups, is to everyone's benefit, not only women who are battered, but their children and their families. Nancy?
I was just going to say that was the other thing, that when we began to have our training for the Ministerial Association, some of the clergy members who do not live in Lake Andes themselves were unaware that we have a shelter in Charles Mix County here in Lake Andes.
Mm-hmm. And there was, you know, at the beginning, there was a lot of controversy that surrounded the shelter opening their doors. And even that can be forgotten. You know, our memories are pretty short when it comes to, you know, news one day and gone the next day, as we all know. So this ongoing effort that you have chosen to make this your issue of education for the year, is that correct?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Is really phenomenal. And it can be very difficult to pull clergy together in an area, to come together to really focus on something as difficult and many times denied as domestic and sexual violence in our community. And people don't necessarily like to talk about that.
No, they don't, Donna. Without getting too political, the thing that was sad in some regards, well, sad in a lot of regards, was during the past election, people didn't take into consideration the women who were raped on the ballot. I just wanted to say that domestic violence, women who are being battered, and the rape. I mean, people just, they kept saying, well, it's a small percentage, but I always kept telling them, put a face to the percentage. It's, you know, then you would look at it a little differently. So, that's all.
I guess my feeling is one woman raped is one too many.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in terms of sexual violence, there's so many children who experience rape and sexual assault. So, but many times women can be forgotten, and the focus becomes almost exclusively on the young people and the children. And so to remember always that it doesn't matter what age a person is, if they have been violated, we need to be able to talk about it. We need to be able to address it on all levels and in all organizations and agencies in our homes, and to be able to say the word rape, to be able to say sexual violence, sexual assault, domestic violence. And if we can't say it, we can't begin to address it.
And I know that you mentioned the word denial, and sad to say, often the whole issue is one of denial in the church.
Mm-hmm.
And sad to say also, there are some clergy who are the oppressors.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, of course, they don't want to confront the issue because they don't see themselves that way.
Yeah, absolutely. And that happens in all walks of life and within our churches as well. You know, they're not excluded from those things that can be very harmful. And so the ability to come together and to get as much information and education and to be able to share that with your congregation will help those who may actually be, you know, at some level it's going to help those people who may be their minister or their priest or their pastor or whatever within their own congregation may possibly, as you said, be oppressive in sharing the information, or be a batterer. That's not uncommon either. But the more we talk about it, the more we look one another towards one another to end the violence, the better off everyone is for it.
And I think that the seminaries are doing a better job of addressing that issue in an indirect way and talking to students about boundaries that need to be kept and between the members of their congregations that they'll be serving in with them. At least it was true in my seminary, and that's been a long time ago when I graduated. But I share a story with you that is amusing, but it sort of tells that. There were a lot of young people younger than I in the class who were single, and so they talked about when they got out in the congregations the inappropriateness of dating a member of your congregation and why. And one of my classmates found herself in that situation when one member of her congregation asked her to go out with them. And she explained very nicely about why that was inappropriate, and that because of the fact that she was serving as his pastor, and she went on and on, and she called me to tell me that she thought she had handled it quite well, but apparently not, because he had left the church, and she was very upset about it. Then she called me back 2 weeks later and told me that he had called and said he had joined another church in town, so now could they go out? And it's a happily ever after story, because 2 years later they got married.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think that years back people were aware, either members of congregations or clergy, that one way to prevent sexual harassment and abuse is to watch your boundaries and your power that you have as clergy.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, because, of course, we see, you know, maybe not daily, but close to daily, the abuses that have happened within the church and how people suffer because of that. When you're talking about perpetrators within the church, there's a different kind of impact, I think, because they are, you know, supposed to be so trusted and to be able to offer that help and that counsel and whatnot, and then to experience a sexual violation. It's so devastating. And we see that on the news, and those people who come forward. Maybe, you know, there's been some settlements, a couple of settlements in that regard, but forever devastated because of that. So it does take it takes, you know, fortitude, and it does take courage for all clergy to be able to address these issues, because they're not just going to go away. And we're certainly not at a place where the violence between intimate partners is receding. That's not happening. So,
Donna, I just wanted to say that where I notice a real big change in attitude is with the youth. After the workshop that the youth went through with the members from the women's shelter, I saw personally the more respect that the boys had for their female counterparts. So in that respect, I think a lot was gained for that one evening that they were given the videos to watch and play acting, so to speak, different situations. But I noticed throughout the course of the last school year that they were more respectful. And I thought that was really good. And hopefully we can continue to do this every year with a different group of youth that we have and the staff from the women's shelter as well.
Mm-hmm. So we have a training that's scheduled, and the person who comes down to do the training is Pearl Gulbranson from the South Dakota Coalition Against Domestic Violence and Sexual Assault, and she will also be down here for, we are going to be, the women's shelter is going to be sponsoring a training for law enforcement, and Pearl will be offering that training as well. Now, do you have another training set up for the Ministerial Association at this point?
Not at this point, but we have our first meeting. We don't meet during the summertime, so we'll meet next month, and I think Nancy and I will do our best to get another training on the agenda for it.
Is there something specific that you would like to see addressed?
Well, not in direct answer to that, but along with hoping to get another training session on the agenda, we will then be encouraging all the members of the Ministerial Association to participate in, to go back and get their congregations to participate in the walk during October.
Yeah, that's right. That's our hope, because it was basically the youth from Lake Andes that participated. And we want the youth from Wagner, and we want the churches in Wagner to participate.
And Marty.
And Marty, because it was right there in their own backyard, so to speak.
Right.
And so the benefits that are gained from it is just, they're unbelievable. I mean, the way the kids, participated in willingly so and carried the signs. And as you know, it was cold last year.
It was cold.
It was early, but it was cold to be that early. And their hearts were very joyful. And when we got to the BIA building and when we had the presentation by different people, I just watched our youth interact and how they went out of their way to serve the elders their food and without anybody saying anything. So
that was great.
I think the benefits are terrific, and so they're our future. And so the training with them, I think, will make our community that much better.
Right. And many times, our youth are great examples for us to follow as adults. And so we want to say, maybe there's some of those young people who are listening, at school or at the library or somewhere today. And we want to recognize you and thank you and say, Nina Wobidatanka, to you for your commitment. And like I said, young people are experiencing it at a younger and younger age, almost on a yearly basis. So, once again, I would like to thank Brother Martin from the St. Mark's Catholic Church here in Lake Andes, and Reverend Nancy Capp from the First Lutheran and First Presbyterian Church here in Lake Andes. And they are members of the Charles Mix County Ministerial Association. And the association meets once a month, and the topic for this year for the Ministerial Association to address is domestic violence. So it's ongoing, sharing information, talking with one another, talking to your congregations, and letting your congregations know that you are available for help, that it doesn't have to be a secret. It doesn't have to be a secret, and that there is help available, and of course, confidentiality is always primary. And so I want to say thank you again.
Well, you're welcome. Glad to be here.
Thanks a lot, Donna. It's our pleasure, and thanks for having us.
Great. And we will have you back again at another time. Hopefully you'll come back and join us, because we're only talking for, just a brief time here today. And there's lots to talk about. And we're just now halfway through the year. We've got another half a year so we can visit. So, is there any parting words that you would like to share with our listeners today before we go?
Well, I guess my parting words would be to those who need to seek help and who are victims, is that there is hope. If they would not keep it a secret, but come to confide in someone.
Yes, there is hope, and there are services available to help. So never feel that you are in a hopeless situation, no way out, because there is help out there. And taking the first step is the first step in ending abuse.
Thank you. And I'd like to leave you with something to think about as well. many times the question is asked, why does she stay? Why doesn't she leave? Does she like it? Of course not. Nobody likes to be abused. The question should be, why is he allowed to be abusive? Why is he allowed to stay in this relationship and hurt someone else? Why do we allow this? It should be totally unacceptable, and we're taking steps in that direction in our community. So once again, this has been Dakota Talk Radio. I'm your host, Donna Hawkes, for the Domestic Violence Awareness and Education Programming.
Hey, hey, oh, hey, oh, hey.